What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. I want to take a minute to talk about supplements. I choose the brand Seeking Health for my family and I, as well as my patients. I don't push supplements, and to be honest, I don't think we should be taking them daily if we are eating right and taking care of our minds and bodies. Why do I choose Seeking Health? Seeking Health is a supplement company on a mission to optimize lives through health and genetic education. Its founder, Dr. Ben Lynch, is a world-renowned expert in nutrigenomics and author of the bestseller, Dirty Genes. He created Seeking Health as a source of research-based products and educational tools to guide your search for truth in healthcare. When you support your body with high-quality bioavailable nutrients, you set the stage for lifelong health. Seeking Health supplements are scientifically formulated and extensively tested for purity and potency. Now the tools you need to optimize your genes and overall health are within your reach. Use code Dr. Matt for 10% off your first order site-wide. This includes all supplements, educational material, and the new Stratagene DNA kit. That's DRMATT for 10% off your first order. Now on to our next episode and special guest. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we will be discussing the pelvic floor. This region of the body is, in my professional opinion, super important, neglected, and not talked about enough. I have an expert on the podcast to break down this region of the body and ways to strengthen it for both males and females. My science brain is pumped for today's episode, and I know it is going to help a lot of people. Let's not waste any more time and meet our special guest. Dr. Natalia Farnsworth is the executive director of Agape Physical Therapy. Although her current role in the company is non-clinical, she has been a practicing therapist for 9 years. Natalia began her career in Tucson, Arizona, where she first became interested in specializing in women's health, particularly with pregnant and postpartum mothers. She then practiced in New York City, where she became more specialized and grew on the business and entrepreneurial side of physical therapy by working for a large practice and opening 2 offices in Manhattan. Natalia has been in Rochester, New York for the last 3 years, first working to grow Women's Health PT and now managing Agape's 7 locations. With that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Natalia on the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us your story. So you briefly said kind of where you're from and whatnot, and You've been in multiple different cities here. That's awesome.
Yes.
But where are you originally from, and what or who inspired you to pursue a career in the health field?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Rochester, so I circled back here. Didn't think I would end up back here, but I actually love it. I grew up in on the west side of Rochester in Gates, New York. Went to school in Syracuse at Upstate Medical. And I was a gymnast growing up, so I was always interested in physicality and staying fit. Even after I retired from gymnastics at the age of 15, which is kind of old for a gymnast, I stayed very active and just kind of pursued my own, way to stay healthy with running and weightlifting, and always really liked math and science. So my mom really helped guide me in that direction. You know, I wanted to go into medicine, but also really wanted to be on the exercise side of things. So it was kind of between either doing some athletic training or physical therapy, and ended up in the physical therapy field.
I treat a lot of gymnasts, and that's so funny you say that. They peak out at 15, which is crazy. They retire at 15.
Crazy.
A lot of them.
Crazy.
But you guys are the toughest athletes that I've worked with. I mean, hands down, yeah. Just the amount of discipline and practice you guys have and hours you put in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it starts from a young age in a lot of gymnasts too. So a lot of those habits are ingrained.
So what do you specialize in within the field of physical therapy?
Yeah, so like you said in the intro, I specialize in women's health. So I've been doing this for the last, I would say, 6 or 7 years, specializing in this particular area. So really helping women pregnant, postpartum, but also just chronic pelvic pain, and focusing on the pelvic floor, which, like you said, also is a neglected area, and is an area that should not be forgotten when we talk about the core and strengthening, and especially in this group that we're talking about of that pregnant postpartum population in particular.
So what is the pelvic floor exactly?
Yeah, so the pelvic floor, it's surprising. I think a lot of people need to know this. This should be kind of basic anatomy, but most people come and they have no idea what the pelvic floor is. So the pelvic floor is actually muscles that sit kind of like a bowl on the bottom of your pelvis and work to support your internal organs. So they're going to support the rest of your body. And you think about the way that it's sitting there at the bottom of your pelvis, it's really working against gravity. So your pelvic floor really works with your respiratory diaphragm, and it kind of moves up and down as you breathe. It also works with your core muscles. And when we talk about core, we're not just talking about your six-pack muscles. We're talking about particularly the transverse abdominis, which is a muscle that wraps around your body, your center, kind of like a corset, and your pelvic floor needs to work with those muscles as well. So it really works to help support those internal organs, works for sexual health as well. And it's really going to, you know, if there's something going on in the pelvic floor, if it's too tight, if it's too loose, that can cause issues like low back pain, urinary incontinence, and as well as pelvic pain. So really, really important component of the core.
Is it important for males too?
Yes. And that's something that, you know, I talk about women's health because I particularly see a lot of women, but our resident pelvic floor therapist also sees males. And so very important for males as well. Men and women both have pelvic floor muscles. So mm-hmm. It's really important. Very often in runners and weightlifters, there can become a lot of tension in the pelvic floor in both men and women. And so working on strengthening, working on getting everything to just coordinate together is a really, really important component. And men can also have pelvic floor dysfunction with incontinence and pain and those types of things.
So you touched on this briefly just now, actually, incontinence and pain. Yeah. So what are a few conditions or symptoms caused by a dysfunctional pelvic floor?
Yeah, so urinary incontinence or fecal incontinence, pelvic pain, pain with intercourse, pain with sitting, abdominal pain very often too, and also even low back pain can also be a component of pelvic floor dysfunction. Those are kind of the main ones. You know, there's a few other very specific things in kind of the gynecologic world that we'll see as well, but those are really the main ones that we're seeing in the clinic.
Affects a lot of people, those symptoms. Yeah, right there for sure.
Totally, totally.
We may be in agreement with this, but I usually tell my patients the true core is any muscle that attaches to the pelvis.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that?
Totally. Totally. And the glutes get forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find adductors too. Adductors get forgotten.
Totally.
Glutes, yep. Hip flexors, quads, hammies,
yep.
Rectus abdominis, like you said, transverse, mm-hmm. which is the deepest mm-hmm. layer, right, to the core.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
So you probably talk a lot about breathing then. So breathing mechanics totally. Really impacts the pelvic floor muscles, correct?
Yes. And you very often, that is one of the first exercises that I will give somebody when, if they're coming in with a tight pelvic floor, if they're coming in with incontinence, either way, there's some dysfunction happening between the breathing component. Like I said, that's how it naturally works. So a lot of people will come in and they'll say, oh, well, I've been doing Kegels for 30 years and they don't work. Well, that's because they're not doing them correctly. Or someone just said, just go ahead and do Kegels. And maybe they don't know how to even activate those muscles, right? So, you know, breathing is one of the first exercises I'll give people. And I always say, I know this seems silly that I'm just sending you home with doing breathing exercises, but it's so important when you breathe to really feel your diaphragm relax, feel your pelvic floor relax, feel your abdominals relax, and then feel them contract just naturally with that breath. Because we want to train the pelvic floor and the core to work in a functional atmosphere. We don't want to train them to just work when you're lying on your back and you're contracting the muscles. We want to train these muscles to be able to work when you're lifting something, when you're getting in and out of your car, when, you know, you get back to exercise, those types of things. So breathing is really the foundation, and getting that, you know, figured out is a really, really good place to start. And then I like to build up from there.
Yeah, these are very functional muscles. I mean, we're talking sex. Totally. We're talking going to the bathroom.
Right.
We're talking sitting. So these people have chronic pain, like, all the time.
Right. And a lot of those things, too, they could very often go years and years and years thinking this is just normal, or they're too embarrassed to bring it up to their doctor, or their doctor even suggests physical therapy and they're too afraid to even make an appointment. So very often when we see people come into the clinic, they've been dealing with these things for many years, and have been too embarrassed or have just thought that it was normal. It's a big thing we see. After I have a baby, it's just normal to have incontinence. It's common, but not normal, you know? So being able to address those issues. And, you know, one of the reasons I got into this specialty is, you know, obviously a lot of us get into this because we want to help people, but knowing that in this specialty, we can help people and have a bigger impact on their lives, on their marriages, even on their self-confidence, their ability to just socially go out and do things and be with friends and not have to be worried that they're going to have to be running to the bathroom every 5 minutes. That, you know, those are really big impactful things in people's lives that, you know, we need to be able to address. And it's great that we can, but it's important to get the word out there. So we don't continue to have people suffering for years and years without knowing if there's a way out and an answer.
I love the work that you're doing because my wife and I, we have two little girls, and, you know, just it's traumatic on the body, pregnancy, delivery. And I hate that answer from doctors that, oh, it's part of life now. It's just a new chapter for you that you pee your pants when you do a box jump at the gym. It's like, no, it's like, this is happening for a reason. Let's solve this problem. So
exactly.
You get to do that with clients and give them hope. And that's awesome.
Yep. Well, and even during pregnancy too, it's like, oh yeah, you're having all that pain. Okay, that's fine. Just, you know, it'll get better once you deliver. Well, yeah, but we still have to function during that time. Right. You know, so having some answers to that. Exactly.
Why is it such a big problem for so many people?
Pelvic floor dysfunction?
Yes.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do, well, there's so many different factors. A lot of it, when it comes to chronic pelvic pain, painful intercourse, which I've seen with a lot of women, I find that actually happens in a very stressful lifestyle, right? Because it's not just what's happening physically with the body. It's what's going on emotionally, what's going on mentally, all those other components. And I find with that, in males and females, there's something stressful going on in their life. Their life is stressful. Their work is stressful. They're sitting too much. They're not exercising enough. They're drinking too much caffeine. They're go, go, go. Especially when I worked in Manhattan, I saw a lot of this. And your body is going to react to that. Very often, we hold our tension. You see it probably a lot in the shoulders, right? Everyone holds their tension here. We hold a lot of that tension too. If their shoulders are tight and their jaw is tight, we hold a lot of that tension in the pelvic floor. And there's actually studies to show that people with TMJ also have pelvic floor dysfunction.
Interesting.
Right? So I think that's a big component, our go-go-go society. I also think, like you said, that there's not enough answers out there. I think, you know, we look at other countries, sometimes in the UK, And in France, every woman gets a pelvic floor therapist right after they deliver. And even during pregnancy, you have to go to at least 10 physical therapy sessions, regardless of if you had a normal delivery or a more traumatic delivery, you're going to get physical therapy. So more preventative versus waiting. What we're seeing now is people are waiting 5 or 10 years to then actually get the help that they need. So I think a lot of it is, touching on both ends of the spectrum, those are some components, I think, as to why it's such a big issue.
So is treating and hopefully fixing the condition more in your mind? Is it more mental than physical, or is it a combination of both? Because it's like,
it sounds like a
meditation needs to happen where you just let the muscles go because you're so stressed.
Yeah, totally. With a tight pelvic floor and chronic tension in the pelvic floor, chronic pain, that is a huge component. The meditation component, the breathing component is huge. And I've had a few patients where we focus on that for session after session. If that's the diagnosis and that's what they need, very often that's a very large component of it. Not all of it, right? There's the physical component of it too, but it's also for many people, like we talked about in the beginning, we don't even know what the pelvic floor is or how to contract or relax those muscles. So it's getting that mind-to-body connection. And then it's also empowering people to say, you have control over these muscles. You know, you're having that pain there. You have the control to actually relax those muscles. You have the control to relax your breathing. You are in control of this. Your body isn't controlling you. This isn't taking over your life, even though it feels that way. It's giving them that empowerment and that control back over their body.
Now, would you say most patients that report with the dysfunctional pelvic floor just have tight pelvic floor muscles, or are they tight and weak?
Very often it's a combination. Yeah. Tight and weak. Because like we talked about, that connection of the pelvic floor to the rest of the core is okay. Are they hypermobile in certain joints in their hips, for example, and the pelvic floor is trying to overcompensate for that. Mm-hmm. So we need to strengthen maybe glutes. We need to strengthen abdominals. So that we don't continue in that cycle of, okay, yeah, we're stretching the pelvic floor because it's tight, but you know, those muscles are still taking over for a lack of strength in other areas, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So very often, it's everybody's so drastically different. So it can be tight, weak. It can be just a lot of tension, weakness in other areas. It can also just be weak pelvic floor, and they're unable to even engage a trace amount of a pelvic floor contraction. So
that makes perfect sense. It's neurological, right? I mean, most injuries, there's a protective mechanism, right? So the brain's protecting. Totally. That pelvic floor area, it's compensating. Yep. Those muscles get short and weak. They just kind of shut off.
Exactly.
You retrain.
Exactly. Yep.
Now, can you touch on the anatomy again of the pelvic floor region? I know you talked about the bowl.
Yes.
So what muscles exactly are in there?
Yeah. So there's three layers of muscles to the pelvic floor. If we had video on the podcast,
I'd be able
to kind of point some of those out.
Close your eyes, everybody. Just imagine that there's a bowl, and here we go.
So there's three layers. And so that first layer really kind of works to kind of close in, and that second and third layer works to kind of lift up that pelvic floor a little bit more. That lifting up is really what we think of when we think of contracting our pelvic floor and doing a Kegel exercise. Those muscles are the levator ani muscles. There's also a lot of hip muscles that are involved as well. The obturator internus, which rotates your hip, is also a pelvic floor muscle. And then, like I said in the beginning, that first layer, we have a few muscles, the transverse perineal, which actually goes across the entire width of that pelvic floor. Very often a muscle during childbirth that can get torn through. So that's a big one that we see some tension in and some, postpartum trauma in as well.
Now, Do you use more manual therapy training these muscles or more active stretching and strengthening?
Both, combination of both, and really depends on the individual's diagnosis. So pelvic floor therapists are able to do internal pelvic floor exams. But this is, I always tell everybody, this is not like a gynecologic exam. There's no speculum, there's no stirrups. It's very relaxed atmosphere, and we're just assessing the muscles. So we're not checking the cervix. Nothing should be painful when we do this, but we're able to assess the muscles. We're able to, just like when you're doing an exam, to look at someone's shoulder, test the strength, so have them contract, relax, and we're able to see if there's more tension in one area versus the other. We're able to actually assess all three layers that I just described, and then, you know, able to do, like you mentioned, any manual therapy. So just like if you were to do some type of muscle release to the quadricep or something like that, you can do that internally. We do a little contract relax to some of those muscles. And then we can also use biofeedback, which allows the patient, there's some electrodes that get hooked up externally, and allows the patient to look at a device that lights up when they contract the muscles. And then, you know, goes back down when they relax the muscles. So it allows them to have that mind to body connection as well. But I'm really big on the exercise piece as well. So really big on, okay, we need to do some internal work, but like I said before, we want to create function. So let's get out, let's, you know, when we're ready, let's lift some weights. Let's get into functional positions to engage the entire core, meaning abdominals, glutes, pelvic floor. I also use a device called a pelvicore ball, which is a ball that goes between your knee, between your legs, and then there's a strap around it. So it's kind of like a elastic band. So you can squeeze that ball. You don't want to do maximum contraction because we don't want to just contract adductors, but give it a little squeeze to that ball to engage those pelvic floor muscles. And then you can also push out against the band to engage the glutes. And it's much more functional in terms of when someone's doing a squat or a lunge, they don't have to think, okay, am I contracting my pelvic floor? Am I relaxing my pelvic floor? You have these tools to help cue those pelvic floor muscles, those core muscles. And I've had a lot of people where typically they do a squat without the pelvic floor ball, and they're feeling some pain, or they're feeling a little bit of pressure, prolapse, incontinence, what have you. And then they do the squat with the pelvicore ball and those symptoms are gone. So it's just kind of nice cueing, you know, different tools that we use in the clinic. So long-winded answer to your question, but no, we really use a combination of both.
Now, I've never had the internal exam done. It does sound a little intimidating, but I feel like it would be a good hurt, if that makes sense. Like any any muscle injury that I might treat, or another PT or chiro would treat, say you got shoulder pain and they're on the rotator cuff and they clear out some trigger points and knots, it's going to feel a lot better afterwards. Right. And it might be a little uncomfortable during, but it shouldn't hurt necessarily. It's like a good hurt.
Right. Typically, if it's very simple and straightforward and there's a tight muscle in a certain area and we do a release, people say, wow, that feels much better. I've had that happen for a number of patients. If we're dealing with, you know, with pelvic floor world, there's so many different types of diagnoses. So if we're dealing with something like endometriosis, if we're dealing with something like a sexual trauma and they're having a lot of pain with anything getting toward that pelvic floor area, that might be a different type of pain. And we want to back off from that. So if I had some patients where they're like, this is too painful, like they can't handle a normal gynecologic exam, you know, so we slowly work toward that so that they gain that confidence. Because what we don't want to do in a patient with that type of history is create more trauma and just say, yeah, you're going to be fine. We're going to do this and it's going to feel better. It's just going to create that feedback loop of more pain, more trauma. So we want to really kind of work through that first. So, you know, to go back though, we really don't want any of this to be painful. If it is painful, it's like, okay, yeah, that hurts a little bit, but it's a muscle pain. I can work through it. We don't want anything that is, you know, causing that traumatic pain experience for the patient again in our office.
Now, what are a couple actionable exercises listeners can do right now to improve the strength and function of their pelvic floor muscles?
Yeah. So like I mentioned before, I would say the breathing is a really important component. So getting your hands on your belly, taking a deep belly breath in. So as you inhale, you want your belly to rise. You want to also imagine your pelvic floor dropping down a little bit and relaxing. And then as you exhale, you're drawing your navel towards your spine and lifting up through that pelvic floor just slightly. So you don't want to do a quick breath and go or anything like that. Just slow breathing. Let the belly rise as you inhale. And then exhale and pulling up and in. That's a really, really great one to start with. And one that I start my patients with. And then to progress from there, doing that same breath, lying on your back with your feet flat, kind of in a knees bent position. And then that same starting breath, so deep breath in, let the belly rise, pelvic floor relax. Then exhale, pull in, and then lift your hips up just slightly into like a mini bridge. And engage the glutes squeezing through the buttocks, and then right back down. So that's going to really work on the breath. It's going to work on engaging the core, the pelvic floor, the glutes in a very simple way. And then we can progress on from there. But those are some simple ways to just start to activate the pelvic floor. Often people say, just do Kegels.
We don't, what is a Kegel exercise exactly? What does that mean?
So Kegel exercise is, best way to describe it is if you're urinating and then you want to stop the flow of urine, right? So the best way, best way to describe it. And very often if people are given those exercises, for example, from their doctor, you know, they're not checking to see, are they doing them properly? And that what I just described is I've had people say, well, that's what I'm practicing. And that's not necessarily a great way to practice because
it's making it worse.
You could be at risk for a UTI by practicing that. It's something that once in a while you can try to see if you can do. But that's the muscle we're talking about. But very often people will work the pelvic floor like they're going to work a bicep. Right? And more repetitions. Okay, yep. Let's just, you know, but it's not designed that way. The pelvic floor is designed to support you all day long. There's always a sub-maximal engagement of those muscles. So, and very often we don't even think about it. And so we want to train it in that way too, where it's more sub-maximal. It's more with your breath. It's less, okay, I'm just going to do a lot of these contractions because you're going to fatigue that muscle. You can cause more issues with pelvic pain by creating more tension there. And you know, you can also cause the opposite, right? If people, I've had patients come in and say, I'm doing Kegels, and I have them, I'm like, okay, show me how you're doing them. And they're actually bearing down and pushing out instead and potentially causing damage, potential prolapse, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's much more simple when we think about that pelvic floor. Some people say, I don't feel like I'm even doing anything. That's fine. Just start with the breathing and then we'll progress on from there.
I love what you're saying with the breath, because the breath allows the muscle to go from short to long and long to short. And that's right. That's what I try to teach my patients with back pain. For example, your glutes are short and weak. So are the hamstrings, because they're trying to protect your back.
Yeah,
we need to re-educate that lengthening, that eccentric contraction to occur. And it's the same thing. Any muscle in the body, pelvic floor,
exactly.
So, can we touch on the breathing again? With what is happening with the pelvic floor muscles? So, on the inhale, my diaphragm is dropping, my belly is protruding upward. Mm-hmm. Are the pelvic muscles contracting?
They're relaxing.
They're relaxing.
So So you want to think about the diaphragm and the pelvic floor are kind of both sitting on top of one another. That diaphragm drops down, the pelvic floor is going to follow, and it's going to drop down and relax. Gotcha. And then on the exhale, the diaphragm is going to lift up, the pelvic floor is going to follow. So that's how we want it to
Resisting gravity. Exactly. It contracts against gravity. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay. And yes. 99% of people let gravity win all day. So yes. we got to work on it.
Exactly.
Okay. Those are great. Thank you for going over the Kegels. That was awesome. What about any success stories? Can you share any if you feel comfortable?
Yeah. A lot of success stories. There's one that really comes to mind. Early in my career, when I first started dabbling in treating this patient population, and I had a woman who was about 8 weeks postpartum. She came to me, she was in excruciating pain throughout her entire pregnancy. She was on pain medication during her pregnancy because she had so much low back pain, SI joint pain, and pubic symphysis joint pain, which is common during pregnancy. She wanted to get back to exercise. She wanted to get back to CrossFit. And, you know, I gave her a lot. We worked together for a while. And this was before I was even really doing a lot of internal work. So this was all exercise based, all just very core pelvic floor based. And, you know, at 4 months postpartum, she was swinging a kettlebell pain free. So a lot of work that went into that, a lot of work on her part that went into that, but, it just goes to show, you know, somebody that walks in, that's just like, I can't do anything. I can't even walk without pain. I can't pick up my child. Being able to have that impact to say, now you can do all of these things and then some, you know, you're swinging a kettlebell and you're doing that better than you did before you even got pregnant. So those success stories are really, really cool to see people get strong and to see people, you know, understand and unlock the potential that their body has and be able to really recover from things.
So cool what you guys are doing. And I think a lot of people might have hip pain or pelvic pain and just not know what to do. And just for you guys to be a resource in the community. I know I appreciate you guys and so do so many other people. So thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about a couple more questions here. Diastasis recti. Mm-hmm. What is it? Is it fixable and is it preventable?
Yes. So diastasis recti, I've seen a lot more people coming in with this diagnosis, a lot more women coming in with this diagnosis, because I think there's a lot of stuff out on the internet, on Instagram, Facebook groups where moms are talking about this. So what it is, your linea alba is a piece of connective tissue that goes right down the center of your body. So if you think about your six-pack muscles, and that that separation in between those six-pack muscles, that is that linea alba, that's a piece of connective tissue. During pregnancy, everything expands. During pregnancy, that connective tissue is going to expand and separate. And that's a normal process during pregnancy to make room for baby. Postpartum, there's very likely going to, that separation will continue. It's normal for that separation to still be there for about 6 to 8 weeks postpartum. Naturally, that should start to come back together. When it becomes an issue is when that separation continues beyond that 8 weeks or beyond 10 weeks. When it becomes more of an issue is if that separation is very large. So typically, we measure this by finger widths. And we measure it by patient would be lying on their back and then do a little mini sit-up. And you put your fingers right in the center of the abdomen and you can feel that separation. A normal separation is about 1.5 to 2 finger widths. When it becomes an issue is when it's larger than that. And I've seen people at 4, 3, 4, 5 finger width abdominal separation. The other piece is not just the width, but the depth. So if you do that sit up and you can push your fingers in and you're like, wow, I'm getting to your spine, you know, that is even more of an issue. It's an issue in that the abdominals are not able to protect those internal organs. And so when you don't have that protection, the core is not engaging, particularly that transverse abdominis muscle, that corset muscle that we talked about in the beginning, is not able to pull in and support the core, support those internal organs, that can cause issues like low back pain. It can also lead to any incontinence and potentially prolapse as well. So I've seen women from all across, from, you know, they're just worried about it, they want to help, you know, improve it, to those that have had multiples and they have a, you know, maybe 4 or 5 finger width separation. The great news is it can get better. It is fixable. Is it going to be perfect? No, maybe not, right? But we can get it back to 2 finger widths. We can reduce the depth of that separation as well. With a lot of, once again, those breathing exercises, because we're working that transverse abdominis muscle, which is that deep core muscle. I also like to describe it as, okay, this is connective tissue that's separated. Your skin is also connective tissue. If you have a cut on your finger, you're going to put a Band-Aid on it. That connective tissue is going to lay down and is going to come back together with the proper forces around it. So we do a lot of exercises where we're even using our hands to help pull both sides of the abdomen back together. I also, you know, suggest sometimes some support braces if it's really bad. I don't like to rely on those long term, but sometimes it can be really helpful. We'll use a towel or a sheet that we wrap around the center of the body and pull both sides of that together to help approximate those two sides, along with some core exercises and some strengthening exercises. And then we get into more functional movement. So that it can be fixed. It's going to take time. It's not going to happen in a couple of weeks. It normally will take about 6 to 8 weeks to start to really see some big improvements. And is it preventable? So there hasn't been anything in any studies that I've read that show that we can prevent diastasis recti. However, in some anecdotal work that I've done with some patients, I believe that, you know, doing PT during pregnancy can potentially help reduce diastasis recti by doing some exercises that are moving more in a rotational plane. Because if you think about it during pregnancy, especially the late stages, everything is moving in this forward and backward sagittal plane, right? So belly's expanding forward. It has nowhere else to go. So it's going to separate. If we do some exercises where we're working more on rotation, where we're doing some side bending types of things, then we're allowing those tissues to say, okay, instead of just expanding here, we can find maybe a little bit more room rotationally. And those muscles and tissues are going to be able to move in some different directions and potentially put less stress on that linea alba, less stress in the center of the core, and help potentially help prevent a diastasis.
Wow, the wheels are turning right now. I got so many questions for you. We need to do another podcast just on that.
Yeah, but totally.
One question I got though. So is it, are most diastasis recti just the rectus abdominis separating, which is the top ab layer? Or does it get past the transverse abdominis or into the transverse abdominis too?
Yes, it can get into the transverse abdominis as well. Yeah, so most of them are just that top layer. That's usually typically what we see. Like I mentioned, not a lot of depth of that separation, right? Your fingers aren't going really, really far in when you're checking.
One to two finger pads are, that's normal, you said?
Yeah. Okay. Is normal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then, you know, yes, it can get further into those deeper layers, transverse abdominis as well. Yeah.
So I think a lot of this has to do with absorbing force correctly and force mm-hmm. distribution, right? So I think just like a disc herniation, you know, people come in with back pain, they think, you know, that's the root cause, fix my back. It's like, okay, we'll do some work on the back. You're going to do some work on the core. But you got to look above stream and below stream too, like you said, with the functional movement, pelvic floor girdle, all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Because that's going to hopefully prevent this from happening again and get it fixed sooner.
Yes, 100%. Totally. Yeah. I recently had a patient come in here who had a pretty significant diastasis with her first child. We worked really hard. you know, got that back to, you know, and improved it. And then when she got pregnant for her second, she came in here at 20 weeks and she's like, I'm just going to come. I'm not having any pain, not having any issues. I just want to make sure that I'm doing the things that I need to do, that I'm doing the right exercises. And then after she delivered, we worked together for about 6 weeks. She had a slight diastasis, much better the second time than the first time, which is the opposite of what you typically think, right? Mm-hmm. You think it's probably going to get worse the second time. So, you know, doing the right exercises, engaging the core, even while you're pregnant, you know, and learning, like you said, to distribute forces in different areas as the body's changing positions, and not just getting into the positions that pregnancy forces your body into, kind of working out of those a little bit, doing some different movements. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Agape now. Anything exciting in store with Agape for 2021?
Yeah, well, like we were talking about earlier, before we started the podcast, we just opened our 7th location right after Thanksgiving in Pittsford at Sully's Trail. So that is really, really exciting. Thank you. Thank you. So
during a pandemic too.
And in the middle of a
pandemic. You guys are brave. Yes, I love it.
Yes. So we have
guys, they're confident. The they're confident.
We are.
Go see them.
We are. 4 locations on the west side and now 3 on the east side of Rochester, Webster, Penfield, and Pittsford. So that's really exciting. And we have aquatics at that location as well, which is fantastic. And beyond that, just really, you know, honing our skill set, really trying to branch further from just the rehab side to the performance side as well. So really working to bridge that gap from, okay, you're done with physical therapy, now you want to get back to exercise. How can we help fill in the gaps? How can we help you get back into exercise? And, you know, getting the word out to people to let them know that what physical therapy can actually do. I think a lot of people think it's just after you've had surgery or after you've had a very traumatic injury, doing more of the preventative side of things, before getting into a season, before, you know, running a race, before you get injured, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, letting people know about direct access, which is what you guys do as well. Mm-hmm. You don't need a physician referral in order to come and see us. So you're having a little ache or pain, or your gym is closed and, you know, you wanna get a new exercise routine, you can come and see us for that type of stuff too. So really kind of getting that word out there is big for us this next year.
It's so convenient too for patients, potential patients. Yeah, you don't need a referral. And that's huge. That's a misconception, mm-hmm. I think.
Yes.
For a lot of people.
Yes, it awesome. Is. Yeah.
So how can listeners get more information on Agape, the pelvic floor, and or make an appointment?
Yeah, so you can visit our website, agapephysicaltherapy.com. We have a lot of information on there. We have some blog posts as well. Nabila is our resident women's health physical therapist here at our Penfield office. To make an appointment at our Penfield office, you can give us a call at 585-364-1567. And, you know, that's probably the best way. You can also visit our website and you can request an appointment right there.
Final question. You ready?
Yes.
If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where would you take them?
Wegmans.
All
they
day.
Have to go to Wegmans.
Yes. Gotta go to Waggies. So, which one?
I would say the flagship, go to the Pittsburgh Wegmans, okay. Right? So it's funny because when we lived in Tucson, one of our friends, we would always talk about Wegmans because we'd be going to like Safeway or whatever they have out there. And I was like, it's not the same. I miss Wegmans. He's like, how do you guys miss a grocery store? You don't understand. He's like, it's just a grocery store, just like a gas station. I'm like, no, you don't understand. So yes, Wegmans.
Full day at Wegmans. I love it. You totally. Can spend a lot of time there.
Amen. Yes, you can.
Well, Doc, I appreciate your time. I know you got a lot on your plate, so thank you so much. And thank you for what you're doing in the community. I mean, you guys are helping a lot of people. a lot of people with just tough, frustrating complaints. So keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Natalia shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me. Go to my website, DriscollChiropracticNY.com. Read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@DriscollChiropracticNY.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.